So in our series of interviews with our legal experts and advertising partners, Debenhams Ottaway, I'm here with Belinda Strange. She's the Senior Associate Solicitor here. And today we're going to be talking about parental responsibility and arrangements for children. So Belinda, where do we start with this one?
Well, I think fundamentally at the very beginning, when people have children in a relationship, automatically mums will have parental responsibility. Now that's a very important legal
starting point almost.
It is. It's the starting point in making any kind of decisions regarding how children are raised. So parental responsibility automatically goes to mum. Dads can have it too, of course, if they are named on the child's birth certificate at the time of the birth, or they marry mum afterwards, if they're living together, for example, when the child's born. Or if that arrangement doesn't quite work, then they can make an application to court for parental responsibility, or dads will often agree with mums that they share parental responsibility, and we can draw up a formal agreement to put that arrangement into effect and just make it legal. Parental responsibility is very wide-ranging, and it's very important because it covers all the major decisions about how to raise a child. For example, it will deal with what schools they should go to, what names they might have, their religious upbringing, and often consent for medical treatment as well is very important, particularly in an emergency, because often there's only one parent available when those kind of situations unfortunately arise. Mm-hmm. So it is important that both parents have what we call PR, we shorten it for convenience. So once you've got PR, or parental responsibility, both parents then share in the major decisions and hopefully agree how the child shall be raised. I mean, parental responsibility deals with the fundamental issues about raising a child, not the minor niggling day-to-day points like what should we have for tea, or if you don't disagree with that. It tends to be the larger major issues. So that can cause problems, particularly if a relationship becomes a bit rocky or maybe parents separate. Now, quite often people do work together sensibly to resolve their differences. And there may often be differences of opinion about how a child should be raised. The question is, does that become so serious as you need help from a solicitor or possibly a mediator as well? Because mediation is an excellent forum for resolving these kinds of disputes sensibly through a gradual process so we can go at the parents' pace and without involving the courts. So it can be a lot less stressful, a lot simpler for everybody, and a lot gentler.
Yeah.
So if mediation isn't an option for a couple in difficulties, then the courts are able to make decisions where an agreement can't be reached. And what we're looking at really is what's called child arrangements orders. Now, there's a very helpful act called the Children Act, which was introduced in 1989, which basically sets out all the rights and obligations and laws in relation to arrangements for children. And specifically under Section 8, we now have what's called a child arrangements order. Now, that is a slight change of terminology from what labels we used to have. You probably have heard of residence orders or contact orders. Now we have a much softer approach, a child arrangements order, and the courts are particularly keen to recognise that both parents share a significant role. I think in the recent years there's been a fundamental shift really towards recognising fathers' rights and recognising the role they have to play as well, which is significant in a child's well-being and future health. So when there are issues, one of the first problems which may come up is how much time one parent's going to spend with the child if they're not living with him or her on a day-to-day basis. Or often we can get issues regarding with whom the child lives with if there is a significant dispute between the parents. And that's when we can come in and help. Now, from time to time, you will have problems where there are, unfortunately, welfare issues at stake, where maybe one parent is vulnerable or has difficulties. Maybe there's backgrounds of alcoholism or other issues. There are forums out there that can help support parents. We can arrange for contact to take place with supervision, so maybe with a family member, keeping an eye on things. It's not quite as interventionist if that kind of support is appropriate. Another option might be for contact to take place at a child centre. So the visiting parent would remain in the centre, be supervised, wouldn't necessarily be allowed to take the child out, but at least you would be able to spend good quality time
bonding,
building with building a relationship with your child, bonding, as you say, and just keeping that relationship alive until things have moved on. Because the one thing about children arrangements is we all recognise that children develop very quickly, things change over time, and what might be suitable for the here and now may not work in 12, 18 months down the line.
Yeah.
So we do have a more forward-thinking approach to how the family dynamic shifts over time and how things can change. And with that in mind, there's always the opportunity to review arrangements. So if whatever you agree isn't working, it can either be renegotiated or you can bring matters back to court if it needs the district judge's assistance and involvement in discussing these issues. Now, common types of applications we see, particularly at this time of year, of course, are about summer holidays.
Yes.
People are thinking about going away. People are in difficulties agreeing dates and locations and places they'd rather not go to at the moment, particularly.
Yeah.
We can help with that. There's a specific remedy called a specific issue order or a prohibitive steps order, which might be relevant in those circumstances. So, for example, a specific issue order would determine, believe it or not, a discrete issue, a specific issue that you can't resolve yourself.
Yeah.
Say, for example, one parent wanted permission to go away, take children out of the country for a holiday, and the other parent might not agree with that's appropriate or in the child's best interest.
Yeah.
So that would deal with a specific issue.
Yeah.
Then we can also have what's called a prohibitive steps order, which is in effect an order that the court make to stop something happening. They would prohibit one parent taking the children away, for example. So as you can imagine, they're quite serious applications to be made, and the courts don't reach those decisions lightly. And there is a process to go through where we'd have a couple of court appearances, you would have to file evidence in support, the other side would have the opportunity to respond and say why they're withholding their consent. And ultimately the judge would decide, often with the benefit of either a social service report or the Child and Family Support Service, CAFCAS, which are a quasi body, kind of a merge between the court system and social services.
Right.
And they're often brought in as a body to look into the arrangements, to meet the parents, to look at the backgrounds and to advise the court overall on what that officer who's involved with the case thinks is in the child's best interest.
Yeah.
Now that's always going to be the key here. It's not about what the parents want or about their conflict. It's always about putting the child first, because child's welfare is paramount, and that is the only real issue. Is if it's good for the child, then the courts will endorse it.
Yeah.
If it's not working, then you might find yourself in difficulties.
Yeah.
Now, as well as those kind of arrangements, we also have arrangements coming up to a long school summer holiday where we are thinking about how to spend 8 weeks and dividing that time maybe between two homes. So those type of discussions tend to fall within the context of the more generic child arrangements order scenario. So we'd be looking at maybe one parent's working, one parent's not working, how we can sort out those arrangements to make sure that they both get to spend, you know, a significant amount of quality time, possibly with half brothers and sisters as well, so they can all go away and establish really good, solid family bonds on holiday and just have quality time together.
Yeah.
Now, I would say there is no typical pattern. People often ask, oh, what's the usual thing? It's unique because everybody's circumstances are different. And it's all about what works for the family, what works for the child. And of course, their welfare, we come back to that point again, is always going to be at the forefront of anybody's mind in resolving these differences between parents.
If, for example, you've got two parents that have split up, they've got parental responsibility, and one parent says to the other, I can't do 8 weeks school holidays on my own, can you force the other parent to have the child for a certain amount of time or not?
That is a very interesting point. The courts can only intervene to stop somebody looking after a child if they pose a potential welfare risk.
Right.
So they can only stop harm from happening. We can't at the moment force a parent who says I'm too busy, I can't take time off, to actually spend time with the child. It's an issue I think we all recognise is a problem, but we don't yet have the mechanisms to compel a parent who's probably the non-resident parent to have time off work to help raise children and just generally be there.
Mm.
There's nothing we can do to force an uninvolved parent to step up, really.
Right, okay.
So also, in conjunction with going away on holidays, a lot of countries now, because of child trafficking, have started to introduce legal requirements if you're travelling alone with a parent, or maybe a child's surname is in a different name to the parent who's accompanying them on holiday. Certain countries do have requirements now that certain forms need to be filled in for the other parent to give permission for the child to be taken abroad and out of the jurisdiction. Now, I would say these forms can take some time to sort out through the various consulates and embassies who are involved. So don't leave it till the last minute. And this isn't something that you should just think automatically, oh, it's my child, I can go wherever I want. That's not the case. Things are tighter, laws are tougher, and immigration officers are keen to spot any anomalies. Or if there is any suspicions whatsoever, if you haven't got the paperwork, you might find yourselves in difficulty.
I've had personal experience of that, so I can endorse that completely.
But I would say if there is an older style residence order in place, the parent who has the benefit of a residence order can take the child away for up to 28 days at a time without the other parent's consent. Now, those orders are slightly older. Things have moved on, but if you still have the old residence style order, that can be very useful indeed. So you should just pack a copy in your rucksack with your passport and everything else that you lug around the airport, just in case you need it. But if not, make sure you've got the relevant forms so you can travel freely.
Those relevant forms, where can you get those from, Belinda? Can you get them from you guys? Or
I would say the best place to start is to look for the, identify the country you're travelling to. Have a look on their consulate websites, because that's normally the starting point for getting any information like that. If you can't find it on the website, then do give us a call and I'm sure we'll be able to help.
Excellent advice as always. My thanks to Belinda Strange, one of our legal experts here at Debenhams Otway.
Thank you, Kerry.